You're listening to VFN Radio. Listen now to the Great Awakening taking place in South Africa, which we believe could be a part of helping bring a third Great Awakening to America. And don't forget, you can catch it in its entirety on God.tv. Enjoy.
I want to spend just a few moments tonight sharing with you something that the Lord gave me many years ago that helped activate in my life. I said, Lord, there was a grace in my life for a season to wait upon the Lord, sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. You know, the Bible says Mary would sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his sayings. And I got so jealous. I said, God, I want to be like Mary. And I want my position, my posture, to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Martha, in the same story, was so busy serving the Lord, she missed sitting at his feet and hearing the Lord. We all remember the story of Martha and Mary. There was a Mary anointing that was released on me when I was 22 years old. And I started to learn about how to wait on the Lord. And the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Something happens when we get still before the Lord. Another scripture says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The Lord was speaking to me about strength and confidence released in quietness. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength is renewed. Your strength is revived in waiting on the Lord. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not grow faint. There's so many promises in the scripture of blessing, revelation, strength, power that's released when we wait on the Lord or be still in the place, the secret place of his presence, in the quietness of his presence. And I had learned that when I got into the rest of God, and that was sometimes sitting and many times just laying on my face or on my back, and I ended up teaching on what I called soaking. Many of our friends and partners that have loved and knew our ministry over the years knew that my greatest message has always been the secret place. More than miracles, healing, revival, signs, and wonders, the first message the Lord ever gave me was the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and started teaching me of all the blessings and benefits of dwelling in the secret place of his presence. And the Lord began to teach me about how to sit at his feet, how to wait on the Lord, how to be still and quiet, how to soak and marinate. That's what I called it. Soaking and marinating, pickling in the presence of God. And I learned some things about how to receive the anointing, how to drink, if you would. I got into a posture of receiving and drinking, letting God saturate my soul. I wasn't so focused on praying in tongues or pressing in Pentecostal or, you know, intercession or all the other things that we do in prayer that I believe we need to do. But sometimes our prayer time gets so noisy and it's so focused on just giving to the Lord and praying and doing something all the time that most people just don't know how to rest and sit or lay still in the presence of God. And I was one of those young people that was so hungry for God that I said, Lord, you promised that if I would seek you and search for you with all of my heart, I would find you. That if we would draw near unto him, he would draw near unto us. I remember all the promises in the scripture about seeking the face of God and really pressing into the kingdom. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I was going to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. I was praying for revival. I was praying every day for revival, hours a day. day, praying in tongues sometimes 4 hours a day, and I would worship and I would praise the Lord and I would make intercession. I'd pray for revival in my church, in my city, in my government. I would pray for my family and friends, and then I would pray in the Holy Ghost some more, and then I would, you know, cast down strongholds and all manner of prayer, all manner of prayer. But I didn't know how to be still. I didn't know how to be quiet. I didn't know how to rest in the Lord. I didn't know how to sit at the feet of Jesus and behold, just gaze on the beauty of the King. Some people called it listening prayer or contemplative prayer, where they would just meditate in their heart on the glory of God. And I started reading about men and women, Desert Fathers, Brother Lawrence, people you might know, might not know, especially the children. But I would wait on the Lord and I would say, God, some of these people would just sit in their heart and behold your glory for hours every day without uttering one word. Now, I said all that to say this. I had a visitation that started in March 1998. When I was 22 years old, where the presence of God came, and it was so overwhelming, the glory of God that came was so overwhelming, the manifest glory of God, it was like a glory liquid honey cloud came into my apartment. I was praying, and I was just telling God how desperate and hungry I was, and I was drawing near unto the Lord and praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, I felt a change in the atmosphere. And I was in my chair, and now I couldn't move. It was like I was frozen in the presence of God, the holy presence of God. And I was like, somebody's in the room, somebody's in the kitchen. That feeling that somebody's in the house, like an intruder. And I thought, somebody's in the kitchen right now. Something's happening. And I couldn't speak anymore. It was like I lost my voice. I went mute. And I sat there in the chair. And it was like the atmosphere was electric with electricity. And then a glory liquid honey cloud came out of the kitchen. The presence of God, like a honey cloud, came out of the kitchen into my living room. A cloud of glory. That was like tasting honey. That's how tangible it was. Sticky. The presence of God was so real. I fell out of the chair onto my face. And electricity would go through my body. My body would shake and vibrate. And hours went by where I was stuck on the floor in my apartment. On my face. And all I could do was go, oh, God. My body would shake and vibrate. Hours went by. I couldn't pray. I couldn't get my thoughts together. I was just there. I was just there, frozen under the cloud of glory. And that cloud of glory stayed with me for 90 days. 90 days, every day, that presence of God would come back like honey dripping out of the honeycomb. How many of you want the presence of God dripping like honey out of the honeycomb? It was like drinking the sweet wine, milk, and honey every day. It was like being in a river of oil. It was the goodness and the mercy of God. It was the tangible, manifest glory of God. It was poured out of my living room until strangers that I had never met started to talk about the presence of God, and total strangers would show up at my door and ask if they could come into the living room and sit on the carpet. They said, "We won't even say anything. Just let us be in your presence when you're in his presence." Total strangers. People in the city started talking about this young 22-year-old man that was having visitations of Jesus and angels and dreams and visions every day, and the glory liquid honey cloud was showing up, and people started talking about it. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before. And every day as I would learn to sit, wait, rest, soak, marinate, drink, in the presence of God, and I would just lay on the floor for hours. And when the presence of God would lift, I would get up and start praying all over again, start worshiping all over again until the presence.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
So God came back. And when the presence of God came back, I would get on my face again. And I learned that the more I got still and quiet before the Lord, soaking, the more sensitive I became to spiritual experiences. The more visions and revelations I had. My first time ever having an angelic visitation was during that 3-month season. It was like every single day I had open visions. Every single day. Heaven was so wide open, I could see in the spirit. Every day I was writing down, you know, I had so much revelation, I just write it down. And the more I would just sit at the feet of Jesus, the more revelation would come. Some people were really good, you know, soaking for refreshing, soaking for renewal and revival. I would soak for revelation. I wouldn't just, you know, let the Lord touch me soaking to get refreshed. I would now wait on the Lord to hear things. I would wait on the Lord to see things. And the Lord begun to speak to me about a grace for soaking that we're going to release tonight. And whenever this anointing shows up in my meetings and I release it to people, we're going to release it in your homes, in your living rooms. Whenever this anointing shows up, this grace, there's always an activation of visions and revelations of the Lord, an increase of dreams and visions. There's always a realm of prophetic stuff that starts happening. It's like your prophetic anointing and your prophetic gift get stirred up. And I want to see that happen, especially to children tonight. As we wait on the Lord together, many of us are going to have visions, maybe even angelic encounters. We're going to see things, maybe even Jesus. I'm going to pray for horses and chariots and whirlwinds and voices and lightnings. We're going to pray for dreams and visions. We're going to release the spirit of prophecy into the meeting tonight, into living rooms tonight. And we're going to wait on the Lord and sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to rest in the Lord. We're going to soak. We're going to get still and quiet and lay before the presence of God. And we're going to activate people. We're going to pray for an activation. And sometimes it's the children, when we do this, that get the most powerful encounters. They see the most stuff. And I'm going to pray for an impartation of this tonight. How many of you are hungry for something to happen in your prayer life? Something to happen when you pray, the manifest presence of God poured out like water, poured out like rivers. When you pray, it's like being under a waterfall of the presence and the atmosphere of God. I don't know if you've ever prayed and you just keep praying, but it's like when you pray, heaven is brass, or God feels like he's a million miles away and there's a disconnect, but you're a Christian and, you know, prayer is the right thing to do. But yet we've all had those moments and those seasons where we opened our mouth to pray and it was like the face of God was right there, and you would say Jesus and he would be like, yes. The closeness of God, the nearness of God. And if that's never happened to you, I'm going to pray the closeness of God, the nearness of God, and the presence of God come upon you in a manifest way where you know the Father's presence and love. I mean, there's something about when the Holy Spirit shows up and you just know you're in the holy presence of God and you're just like, oh, Lord, your presence is awesome. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I can feel the presence of God in my heart. I can feel the presence of God in my flesh. I'm praying tonight that the presence of God would come like honey in the honeycomb. Oh God, let there be a visitation that would be like a glory liquid honey cloud. Somebody in their living room saying, yes, I want that. How about you? And we're going to soak. And if you've never heard the word soaking or marinating or pickling, don't worry about it, because we're going to do it. And when we do it tonight, and you start laying before the presence of God, laying in the glory presence of God, things are going to happen tonight. And if you make this a part of your lifestyle, if you make this a part of your Christian discipline, you're going to see open heavens and revelation and visions and dreams, and you're going to be in tune with what the Father is doing. I'm telling you, as I wait, before I come into meetings like this, and I'm nearly done my testimony, and I'm going to share just two scriptures. Before I come into meetings like this, I spend 1 to 3 hours, usually 3 hours, where I just lay before the presence of God. I might walk in my living room, but most of the time I like to get quiet on my bed and just say, "Speak to me, Father." And I wait on the Lord. And I ask the Father to show me the miracles before I even get to the building. Show me who's going to get healed. Words of knowledge. Let me have dreams and visions. What's happening in the spirit tonight? What's happening? What are the angels doing? I just want to be in tune with what heaven is doing. Listen, too many preachers go about doing ministry without really seeing what the Father was doing. Too many times we just have professional church services without any moving of the Holy Spirit. But if we're really going to see God show up in glory and power, we've got to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. We've got to let God pour out His glory and go after the presence. We can't just be programmed to 20 minutes, 45 minutes of worship, 40 minutes of preaching. And some of us are so professional about how we do church, how we take offerings, about how we run revivals, we miss God. In 33 days of outpouring services, not one anointing has been the same. I've been amazed after 33 days how every single service and message has been unique. People don't know what to expect when they show up. What's going to happen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Tomorrow night's a healing commissioning service. It's going to be a healing miracle service tomorrow night. That I know. But most times I can't see past the next day. But as I wait on the Lord, and this is what I want to release to you tonight. My testimony just gets you hungry. Not everybody in this room tonight is a Christian. We have Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, atheists, people that don't even know what they believe, Christians, even backslidden Christians in this meeting tonight. Black, white, Indian, colored, everybody gathered together to have an encounter with the presence of God. Some have come to get blessed and healed. Others have come to have your children prayed for. Others have come because you're hungry and you want the glory presence of God, and you've been watching revival on God TV and you said, "I need to go and get under the cloud and get into the atmosphere." Many of you are like that, and many of you watching, hallelujah, you're saying, "I want to get under the cloud. I want to get under the cloud of glory." And so we've got so many different kinds of people in this audience. We're not just preaching the Christians. And I'm glad. I pray that every Hindu and every Muslim and every other religion knows that our meetings are open. Come and experience the love and power of Jesus. This is for you. It's not a church revival. Come on, I'm telling you, we're going to take this thing to the Indians. We're going to take this thing in Joburg and Pretoria to the blacks. We're going to take it to the whites. We're going to take it to the coloreds. We're going to take it to the Afrikaans. I mean, everybody, hallelujah, is going to receive an outpouring of the Father's love and glory. Hallelujah. This isn't an Indian revival. We might be in an Indian city. Do you know at one point, there were more Indians and Hindus, thousands, coming in these meetings, more than Christians. The revival started, and I said, "God, 60% of my crowd was Hindu when the revival started." I said, "How many of you know that's where God wants to move? He's pouring out His love, and He's pouring out His Spirit on everybody." We've had too many meetings for Christians. Too many meetings. And we've gotten professional. And we don't know how to have a move of God. I'm going to pray tonight for the move of God in your family, the move of God in your house, the move of God in your living room, in your church. I'm getting letters from Phoenix, Arizona about the move of God breaking out all over Phoenix, Arizona in living rooms. Because people are hungry for revival. I got a letter today from Kathmandu. Somebody saying, "We want revival to come to my boyfriend in Kathmandu." I said, "Where is Kathmandu?" People are watching in Nepal, Japan, Iraq.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Benghazi, Libya. What's happening in Tonga? And more than 1,500 living rooms, bringing 20 to 30 people into their living room, are watching revival. People are getting saved in living rooms. This anointing is transferable. It's tangible. It needs to get on you. It's contagious. I'm saying go light a fire. Go and light a fire. Take it back to your city. Take it back to your nation. Take it back to your church. It isn't but one church. Listen, the venue that we're going to get in Joburg and Pretoria, whatever the venue is, when we get the venue and we're going to announce it this week, when we announce where we're coming, it's going to be a venue not connected to any one man or woman or church. It's going to be for everybody. Because the move of God's going to go to the stadiums. Get ready, stadiums. Get ready, stadiums. Get ready, stadiums. Somebody needs to get more excited about the move of God going to stadiums. Ha, ha, ha. Ha. Habakkuk. I'm reading just two scriptures tonight. Habakkuk 2. Said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart to watch to see. There it is. Watch to see. Wait to see what the Lord will say to me. Habakkuk 2. Waiting on the Lord. Watch and see in prayer what the Lord will say to me and what I answer when I am corrected. The Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Write the vision. Some people call it journaling with God or listening prayer. We wait to see in the presence of God, waiting to see in the Spirit what the Lord will say to me, waiting for revelation. And I'm going to show you how it started for me in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Turn in your Bible. If you have your Bible tonight, turn in your Bible. We bring our Bible to revival if you're Christian. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel 3. I couldn't imagine being a Christian and not bringing a Bible. And I'm joking. But at the same time, you gotta love the Word of God. Somebody's gotta get excited about the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, turn there. And this is where I'm going to ask that the children tune in. They don't have the attention span we do. In fact, most adults can't make it past 10 minutes. Not just children. People just want to get prayer. But you know, it's amazing because Samuel, Hannah, and her husband loved the Lord, but Hannah wasn't able to have a child. We all know the story, or maybe you don't. But Hannah was barren, and she loved the Lord, her and her husband. And they went to the temple, they were faithful. And she said, Lord, if you'll visit me and give me a child, I will dedicate my child to your service. All the days of my child's life, if you give me one gift, one child. And you know, Samuel was the boy born to Hannah when the Lord healed Hannah's barrenness. And you know, Samuel means this, God has heard. God has heard. Samuel was the first real seer prophet that came back into the church. What they called the seer, the prophet that would prophesy by dreams and visions. Samuel was called the seer prophet. And there were others too, Nathan, Gad, There's several examples in the scripture of the prophet that would prophesy by dreams and visions or seeing. And then there was Nathan the prophet. He was more the knobby word prophet that prophesied the flowing words or just knowledge as it would come to. But Samuel would have visitations of the Lord and dreams and visions and prophesy, which I believe the Lord is releasing this seer mantle, this Samuel mantle. God has heard. It's a prophetic mantle. It's coming upon the body of Christ. It's a gift of revelation, and it comes with the gift of healing and power and miracles. But what was awesome about when she brought the boy Samuel to the temple, I'm just giving you the background. She brought the boy Samuel and gave him to the priest Eli and said, "You can have my boy. He's dedicated, set apart for the Lord. He was a gift given to me by God when God healed my barrenness, and I said he would serve the Lord." And so when Samuel came to a certain age, he was given to the temple. And here's what I love about the story. We're talking about mantles tonight, new mantles. The Bible says that every year in 1 Samuel 2:14 through 16, every year Hannah would make Samuel a brand new mantle. And she would bring it to the temple every year and give it to her boy, a mantle. Every year she brought him a new mantle. How many of you believe that's a message? Every year, he didn't have to grow into the mantle. Every year, the Lord brought him a mantle that fit him, custom-made mantle. And your mantle means this is your identity. Mantles in the Bible were different colors depending on your rank, your calling, and your position, how much money you had, how rich or how poor. That was the color of your mantle. People could see your mantle and go, "You're rich." People could see your mantle and go, "You're poor." People could see your mantle and go, "You're a priest." People could see your mantle and go, "You're a prophet." People knew by the color. Everybody in Israel wore a mantle, which was like a robe, an outer garment, which spiritually speaks of authority and power and anointing and calling and destiny. Everybody has a different mantle, and the color of your mantle isn't the color of my mantle. I've seen mantles in the spirit. I've seen healing mantles. I've seen prophetic mantles. I've seen miracle mantles. I've seen mantles of worship and glory. I've seen mantles of money. Sometimes when I'm in my meetings, I'll see angels come and give people mantles. It's their calling. It's their destiny. I'll know if what color your mantle is, red, green, blue. I mean, mantles have different colors. Angels can come with different colors. That's a whole other message. But a mantle is an anointing. When Elisha picked up the double portion mantle of Elijah, Elijah did 8 miracles. Elisha did 16 miracles recorded in the Bible. Double to the exact number. Elisha did 16 miracles. Elijah did 8 miracles. That's where the term, "I want a double portion anointing," comes from. There is a bigger portion, hallelujah, that we can receive from the Lord, but it's a mantle. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is the mantling. This is where it started. This is how it started. And I want you to read with me. This is the only passage of scripture we're going to read right now. 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is what the Lord called me to. Not just to be a prophet, but a priest. First, in the presence of God, ministering in worship and the word, a priest. Before we're a prophet and king. 1 Samuel 3:1, the boy Samuel, say the boy. The boy Samuel, 11 years old, 12 years old. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. What does that mean? There was a famine in the church, and God wasn't speaking to the people or the prophets. Could you imagine no dreams, no visions, no prophets, no prophecy, no prophetic encounters, no throne room encounters, no heavenly encounters, no angels? The word of the Lord was rare. It was a rare thing to hear a message from God, and revelation was not everywhere. I know people today, the word of the Lord is rare and there is no widespread.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at vfntv.com.
Spread revelation. You're in a spiritual famine. Your church is in a famine. Your nation is in a famine. This famine in 1 Samuel 3 was a famine of the word of the Lord and revelation, a famine of visions and dreams, a famine of supernatural encounters, and God wanted to bring it back to the church, and he chooses a boy, Samuel. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, say his place. Eli was lying down. Where was he laying down? His place. Eli had a place, his place. His eyes were so dim he could not see. He was spiritually going blind and naturally going blind at the same time. And it says in the next verse, the lamp of God was about to go out in the tabernacle. That means the priest was neglecting his priestly duty to bring oil to the lamp to keep the fire burning. Every morning and evening, somebody was no longer bringing the oil. That means Eli was not functioning with intimacy, ministering to the Lord in worship and the word. He was neglecting his priesthood. Do you think there was a connection between the fact that Eli was going blind in the natural and Israel was going blind the word of the Lord in revelation at the same time? Do you think there was a connection to the spiritual state of Eli? He was letting his sons lay with women at the temple door. He himself wasn't sleeping with women, but he was letting his sons. He was tolerating sin and compromise. He had grown to a place, call it spiritually backslidden, where he had neglected the very lamp of God that was burning in the tabernacle, was about to go out because he wasn't praying and bringing the oil. And so now here comes the boy Samuel, reading in verse 5, or reading in verse 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." The first time the Lord called the boy. Why the boy? The Lord calls him, and he says, "Here am I." And he runs to Eli, and Eli says, "Here I am. You called me?" And he said, "I did not call you. Lay down again." And he went and he laid down. Samuel went and he laid down. Where did he lie down? In verse 3, Samuel was lying down where the ark of God was. Samuel was laying down where the ark of God was, the glory presence. Eli was laying down in his place. But Samuel was laying down where the glory was. Two different positions, two different postures. One was laying down in his own place, outside of the glory of God. The tabernacle, the lamp is going out in the tabernacle. The man is spiritually and physically blind. His spiritual, he's about to lose his mantle. He's about to lose his priesthood. He's compromising. His sons are laying with the women at the temple door. And here comes a boy at 12 years old that ministers to the Lord in worship and the word. Every day, the boy Samuel, Samuel means God is heard, stands before the Lord in worship. And now Samuel chooses to make his bed to lay down in the atmosphere where the glory is. He said, "I'm going to lay down where the ark is." Samuel was in his place. And the Bible goes on to say, three times God calls Samuel. And it was on the third time Eli was so spiritually dull, it took him three times to realize, maybe the Lord's speaking to you. This is where the mantle came on Samuel. And the Lord said, "I'm going to make you a faithful priest Not one of the words that you ever speak will fall to the ground without producing. And he became one of the greatest prophets that anointed David, king of Israel, that brought Messiah. It was Samuel. Samuel's ministry was born laying down where the glory was. That's what happened to me when I was 22 years old. The glory liquid honey cloud came. And I learned how to lay down. I learned how to get still and quiet. I learned how to wait on the Lord. I learned how to sit at the feet of Jesus. I learned how to behold His glory in my heart. I learned how to gaze on the beauty, on the face of Jesus. I learned how to wait on the Lord. I learned how to meditate in my heart and see the presence of God and sit. In fact, I would just lay on the floor 4 to 12 hours a day, every day for 3 months. I would come and pray until the presence of God came, and then I would just get down on the floor. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And I would just start soaking. My heart would surrender, my mind, everything within me. And I would start thinking about Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. And my mind would wander and begin to think about different things. And I would say, Lord, forgive me. And I'd put my mind back on Jesus. And I might worship a little bit. But this was my soaking posture. That's right. Just laying down where the ark of God was. Surrender all that I had to Jesus. And I would let the glory touch me. And I would let the glory fill me. And I would just drink and soak and marinate. And I would say, Lord, show me things. Take me into the Spirit. And I would wait sometimes up to 12 hours a day. Music playing in the background, just quietly. Pablo, just come on up onto the platform. Pablo, let's just wait on the Lord. All over this room, we're going to do this tonight. We're going to soak. We're going to activate something in you tonight that maybe you've never done before. I don't know how much South Africa knows soaking. How does to sit at the feet of Jesus and let the presence of God come on you? How just to get still and quiet. Feel the glory. Sometimes our mind and our heart get so busy, we can't feel the glory. And maybe after we worship for an hour and the presence of God comes, we move on to the next thing, the sermon, the offering, the announcements, and we miss an opportunity to be touched by the presence of God. We got to learn, church. Here's the key to revival. You must learn how to be touched by Jesus. If I could say I have made a discipline, an art in my life, it's been a lifestyle. I have learned how to enter into the presence of God. It just takes me one moment. And I can tune out of whatever's going on around me, and I can just stop and access the kingdom. And just, I'm in. And I've learned how to put my mind, how to put my thoughts, how to put my heart and soul in the very presence of God, because the kingdom of God is within you. And I don't try to get up to where heaven is anymore. I don't try to pray heaven to come down anymore, because the kingdom of God is within me. And I've learned to enter in through the door of my heart to the place where the Spirit of God dwells in me as a temple. And I carry inside of me the ark of His presence. And if you're a Christian, you need to learn how to access in the quiet, secret place. You need to learn how to access the very throne of God, the glory of God, the kingdom of heaven that's inside of you. You need to learn to dwell on it. You need to think about it. You need to meditate on it. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus and just say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. All over this place, in every home, in every living room right now, just begin to enter into the Spirit. If you know how, just begin to enter in. And just think about Jesus. Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Just let that glory come. Open up the floodgate of your spirit and let that glory come. It's time to move under the cloud and pray for open heavens, prophetic encounters, prophetic experiences, dreams, visions. Lord, that things would happen in the glory, that it would come right now like honey. The presence, the tangible, manifest presence of God. And yet there are people in this meeting tonight, as we're waiting, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. People in the presence of God tonight have come for blessing and healing. Whole families here tonight, children here tonight, teenagers here tonight. You've never had an encounter with the love and the presence of God. You've never been born again. It doesn't matter how old you are, 4 years old, 10 years old, 16 years old, 55 years old, doesn't matter. I'm going to give an invitation in the presence of God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And I want to pray with you. And I'm going to ask right now, every head to bow, every eye to close. Holy Spirit, begin to move. Holy Spirit, moving. And I'm going to ask right now, if you're not sure of your salvation, if you know that you're lost or backslidden and you need to get right with God, maybe you're here tonight, you're a Hindu, you're a Muslim, you're a Buddhist, drug addict, black, white, doesn't matter, Christian. If you need to get right with God, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and experience His love, power, and forgiveness, there's an encounter for you tonight. And you must be born again to enter. You must be born again. If you're watching tonight, you must be born again. In Christ, you can be a new creation. All old things pass away. But we got to believe tonight that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and be willing to confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you're in this meeting right now and you want me to pray with you and you want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just put up one hand right now and say, that's me, that's me. Just go ahead and put up one hand. That's you, that's you. Come on, all over this room, put your hand up. Children, put their hands up. Teenagers, all over the room, put your hand up. Let me see it. Wave at me. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight. You want to give your life to Jesus. I'm inviting every Hindu. I'm inviting every Muslim. I'm inviting every backslidden Christian. I'm inviting black, white, Indian. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm inviting children, teenagers. You must be born again. If you've never been born again, put your hand up right now. If you've never been born again, and I want to pray with you, I'm going to ask you right now, quickly, I'm going to ask you, stand up, and just come forward. Stand up. If you put your hand up, come quickly. Just stand up and just come forward. Just come forward. Come from the balcony. Come from the balcony. Quickly, stand up and come and receive Christ. Quickly, come out of your seat. Come down the stairs. Come down the stairs and come and stand at the altar. Let the children that want to give their life to Jesus, let the teenagers that want to give their life to Jesus, just come right now. Just get out of your seat quickly. Just stand up. Stand up. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. Stand up in the back, under the balcony, under the balcony. Stand up, and I want you to get out of your seat quickly and come forward. Come and give your life to Christ. Come and give your life to Jesus. Come and know the love of God. Come and know the power of God. Come and know the presence of God. God bless you as you come. God bless you all the way to the back. God bless you as you come. Come to Jesus. Come down the stairs. Doesn't matter where you are in the auditorium tonight. Come quickly. Come quickly and join us at this altar tonight. You're going to have an encounter with God. Let all the families bring their sons and daughters and children. If you want to give your life to Jesus and you're watching tonight, I'm going to pray with you in your home, in your living room, in your hotel room, watching tonight's broadcast as families are coming to the altar right now. Many people are coming forward to know Jesus Christ tonight, and you can pray with me in your homes, in your living rooms. Just quickly come, come. God bless you as you come. Come, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Every last soul, come, come quickly. Come quickly. God bless you as you come. Come, come. The love of God is waiting for you. The goodness of God. Bring your family. Bring your friends that don't know Jesus. Bring them to the altars. Bring them to the altars. This is the holiest moment. This is the holiest moment. Anybody else? We're waiting for you that you come, young man. God bless you. Just one more moment. One more moment. God bless you as you come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. God bless you all the way to the door. God bless you. God bless you. The altar call goes all the way to the door tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to pray with you. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. A prayer could not save you. But if you're willing to have faith and put your trust in Christ and receive the free gift of eternal life, the free gift, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again and you're willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can be saved, born again, born of the Spirit tonight. And I'm going to ask you to open your heart and pray with me. And I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud. And I want everybody in the room to pray this prayer together in the balconies. Pray with us in your homes. Pray with us in the prison, in the hospital. Pray with us in your living room. Pray with us. Let's pray together. Let's say this. Jesus, we want to know you. We want to know Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be born again. I want to be born again. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. I'm asking tonight for the free gift of salvation. I want to receive tonight Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. From this day forward, Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for forgiving me. I want you to put my name in the book of life. Make me a new creation. Make me a new creation. Make me a new creation. Put your hand on your heart in your living rooms. You're responding, you're praying this prayer of salvation. Put your hand on your heart. And Father, we pray that the glory, the presence of the Holy Spirit begin to move in every heart. The presence of the Holy Spirit begin to move in every heart. The presence of the Holy Spirit begin to move in every soul. The power of God, the presence of God begin to move in every mind right now. We release it. We release it. We release rivers of living water. We release fountains of living water. We release the presence of Jesus into your hearts all over the altars tonight. The presence of Jesus. And I command Satan's power to loose over you now in the name of Jesus. We break Satan's power over you now in Jesus' name. And the presence of God is holy. The presence of God is holy on you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We want to pray with you. We want to write down some information. So I'm going to ask you for 5 minutes. If you could just, everybody at the altar, if you could just come this way with me for 5 minutes. Could you just come this way? Just come this way. Follow the ushers. Right out here, right out here. Just, if we could have the ushers lead the people into the room. We're going to write down some information. Come on, let's thank God for this harvest of souls. Come on, just keep coming. Let's have everybody move. Come on, what a harvest tonight. Hundreds coming forward to receive Jesus. If you prayed that prayer in your...
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Your living room, pick up the telephone and call the number on the screen. I want to know if you gave your life to Jesus. If you made a commitment to Christ, send us an email right now, awakening@god.tv, and tell us you made a commitment to Christ. Maybe you're in a prison, in a hospital, watching in the living room. People are giving their lives to Jesus in living rooms. Maybe they're giving their lives to Jesus in your church, watching revival tonight. Send us an email and tell us what's happening. Pick up the telephone and call the number on the screen. In India, in Europe, all over the world, you're watching, there's a phone number. Pick up your telephone and call. A counselor will pray with you. Send us an email and tell us, I gave my life to Christ. I gave my life to Jesus. My son, my daughter gave their life to Jesus. Send us an email right now, awakening@god.tv. Let's thank God one more time for a great harvest of souls tonight. Hallelujah. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a transition for a moment. All over this building, we're going to do something. You're going to do it in your home, in your living room. I'm going to ask every person to change their posture. Change your position. Don't stay in the place you are, spiritually speaking. But even physically, I'm going to encourage you. You don't have to, but I'm going to ask people to just get out of their chairs, come to the altar, and lay down in the glory. If you can't get to the altar, lay down in the aisles or wherever it is. But I want everybody to come into a position, a posture of just waiting on the Lord and soaking. I'm going to open the altar right now, and I'm just going to invite you to come, especially the children and teenagers, just to come, the whole altar, and just lay on your back. Just lay on your back. You can lay on your face if you want to, but I would encourage you just to come and lay on your back all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Everybody in the building, you need to change your posture. You need to change your position. There's going to be an activation. We're going to soak for a minute. We're going to soak. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to marinate. Come on in your living room. Get down off of the couch. Just get the computer. Put it on the floor. You can lay before the television. Come and lay on your back. Come and lay on your back all over in the aisles, in the balconies. Just make room. You could sit at the feet of Jesus if you have to. You can stand, but I'm telling you, a position of surrender. Let's just lay down in the aisles. Just find a spot between your chair, under your chair, all over the building, in the aisles. Just lay down where you are. There's not enough room at the altars. We've got almost 3,000 people here tonight that are going to be soaking. And many of you in your living rooms are going to be soaking in the glory. Just lay down under the balconies. There's room at the back of the auditorium, at the back of the auditorium. Just lay down. Get on your face. Get on your face. Change your posture. You can get on your knees if you want. But we're going to soak. We're going to soak. Just lay down. All the children, all the teenagers, all the way to the back of the auditorium. Just move out some chairs if you have to. They're clearing out chairs. They're clearing out chairs. And we're going to just wait on the Lord. We're going to just take a few moments in your living rooms. We're going to soak. We got Pablo Perez, Encountering God Ministries, on the keyboard tonight, leading us into the glory presence, just playing, ministering to the Lord in worship. And there's an awesome anointing on this. We're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We're going to say, God, fill, flood, saturate my soul. Release people into dreams and visions. People are going to have visions right now as we wait on the Lord. People are going to begin to have visions. You're going to see in the Spirit. Lord, I pray for angelic encounters. I pray for visitations. I pray for open heavens. I pray for visions. I pray that people would see Jesus. Even children would begin to see Jesus as we wait on the Lord, as we soak right now, as we get under the cloud of glory tonight. You feel that? It's the cloud of glory. Let it come into your home like honey, dripping, dripping, the presence of God like sweet wine, like milk dripping. Oh, hallelujah. Just rest in the Lord. You're laying in the river tonight. You're in the river of God, and you're just letting the river wash over you, letting the river wash over you. And just pray, God, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. Just take a moment with me. Take a moment with me. Take a moment in your home, in your living room, at your church altar. Take a moment. Lord, let us come under the cloud of glory. Honey cloud. Let the presence of God be overwhelming. I pray for the nearness and closeness of God. That, Lord, you would release in the spirit of prayer intimacy. Intimacy with Jesus. Lord, open the hearts of children all over the world to begin to see that there be an activation tonight where people just go into the spirit realm. Into the spirit realm, into the glory realm, mount up with wings like eagles. God, I pray for the seer. Let people begin to see. Release a seer mantle. Release a Samuel mantle. Many of you are going to see things. Just going to take a few moments and just surrender. And put all your thoughts on Jesus. Just think about the glory. Heaven is my home. The Father's house. Take us into the rooms. The glory getting stronger. Father, let the anointing of revelation come on people's hearts. Open the eyes of our heart. Let us see Jesus. Pour out your spirit. Let every young man have visions. Sons and daughters prophesy. Let every old man dream dreams. Like an open heaven, Jacob's ladder, a Bethel. Angels of God ascending and descending. A door standing open in heaven. A voice saying, come up here. We're laying down where the ark is. We're laying down in the glory. Oh God, fill my soul. Father, I pray for God encounters. We just wait.
Jesus. You're listening to VFN Radio, and you've just been listening to the Great Awakening taking place in South Africa, which we believe can be a part of helping bring America's third Great Awakening. And don't forget, you can catch it in its entirety at God.TV. Thanks for listening. VFN Radio.